Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Hot sauce. Tool. Candy bar. Rectal prolapse.
It's week time! It's week time!
Hello!
This is the new intro.
79 bottles of beer on the wall. 79 bottles of beer.
79.
Drink went down.
Made it.
Pass it around, and next week it'll be 80 and we'll feel more special.
Yeah, know, 80, like 80 has a stronger ring to it.
It does. It does have a stronger ring to it. Episode 79 of Is We Dumb. My name is Joe Paisley.
I'm Dan Cummins.
And Dan Cummins does comedy stuff, and you have some busy stuff going on.
That's right.
Heading out on the road and doing the things out there.
Had some fun, a lot of fun in San Diego and in West Hollywood. I guess La Jolla specifically. In San Diego, but and then coming up Orlando, Atlanta, a whole bunch of places.
What's the weird La Jolla Pacific Beach? That's the weird spot. I mean, weird, but as in like really fun to just kind of sit around and people watch. Is that real?
Or like Pismo Beach?
Maybe
Pacific Beach. I don't know. There's so many little towns along the coast there. I lose track of them.
Okay.
Like last time we were in that kind of area, we were more north, like Huntington Beach. But La Jolla. I mean, La Jolla was randomly a connection to where I grew up. Like, you know, I grew up in Riggins, Idaho. McCall, Idaho is 45 miles away. And some lady at this coffee shop started like, hey, where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. It's Coeur d'Alene. Oh, brought up McCall. And there's like this weird La Jolla McCall connection where apparently a lot of the rich people in La Jolla like to go up to McCall for like the summers and stuff. And I'm like, man, two beautiful places. Mm-hmm. What a nice life.
What a terrible thing.
La Jolla's, yeah, it's gorgeous.
God, I hope my other house that I have in McCall is clean.
Yep.
It's a good problem to have.
Oh, yeah. And I will have a funny story about my first night in La Jolla here soon.
Yeah, but, I can't wait.
Some residents, I'm sure, saw me in a very altered state. Real weird.
We'll cover that with the Is We Dumb.
And the stand-up, you can go to dancummins.tv. And some of the markets have been insane. I just want to say a quick thank you to Salt Lake City. The ticket sales were so fast there that I genuinely thought it was a mistake. And checked in with the club owner. I'm like, hey, man, I think your website's not working.
It looks broken. Do you guys have 4 tickets on sale?
Oh my God, Salt Lake City. It's like the show's just sold out immediately, basically. So that's fun.
Well, rightfully so.
So that's the only city I'm going to go to now.
Right.
I'm just going to do a residency.
Strictly Salt Lake.
I'm going to do a residency in Salt Lake City.
My next special's there. Mm-hmm. Special after that. Special after that. Until you guys kick me out.
That'd be so. I would love the randomness of that. So where do you go on tour, Salt Lake City? Like where else? No, just Salt Lake City.
That's it.
I do a 6-month residency.
Are
in
you
Salt
from
Lake
there?
City.
No.
No. I love it. And they love me, and that's all. That's all there is to it.
So you're not from there. Do you live there?
No,
of course I don't.
I mean, kind of now. Six right. months out of the year.
Sure.
I do a residency in Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Well, good for you. It's the new, it's a, so Reno is the smaller Vegas. Salt Lake City is now.
It's a smaller Reno.
Smaller Reno.
It's like Reno, but like just for me. There's like one casino that they somehow punch in downtown.
Dan Vegas.
And just, Dan Vegas.
Danny
it's
Vegas.
It's a small casino with one showroom, and I'm like their share.
And
I'm
a bunch
like,
of,
I'm legally, their Celine Dion.
There's a bunch of slot machines, but it's just pictures of them. You can't actually play them, but it's fun to think about. It's like one of those baby, like at the playground, we get to spin the little wheels.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that.
I love that you get a fake casino.
Right? Just to draw people in.
You just, it's like they actually have the slot machines, but instead of like winning any money, it's just like, good job. You did great, buddy.
Right.
Just affirmations.
They turn it into like a claw machine. Like you're winning little stuffed animals and bouncy balls.
Oh, my God. Bouncy balls
some candy.
And sticky hands and shit. Just the little plastic bubbles. Just like
play until you win. It's a Tootsie Pop. That's the Vegas I want.
That sounds like
that's
fun. It's a fun, low pressure Vegas.
Let's do it. Come on. Right. Just do it. Let's just start it.
If you want the lights of Vegas, but none of the excitement and danger.
And go to bed early.
And you don't have to worry about, you know, I don't know.
STDs.
STDs and stuff. You don't have to worry about divorce.
Yeah.
Right? Losing all your money. Then you go to Salt Lake City, the Dan Vegas casino.
Something tells me there's some darker shit going on in Salt Lake City. There has to be. Oh. There's an underbelly that's real.
Oh, for sure there is. And I think that's the only reason I'm able to do shows there.
That's why your career is taking off. It's the underbelly of society.
Salt Lake City, I would say, much like Boise, is so much cooler than people think. Mm-hmm. Like people who never go, they have this image in their mind. And they have like, people have a weird image in my mind too of just Mormon culture in general. Mm-hmm. They have it confused with like 19th century, like, hello, Zebediah. You know, it's like, how is the missus?
Little Prairie on the Hill.
Right. Like Little Prairie mixed with like fucking Leave It to Beaver. It's like, yeah, like there's a lot of people who won't swear and stuff, but at least for me, I don't really notice it because they're wearing the same shit. They watch the same shows and they have like a different, you know, like spiritual life, but they're not, in my experience, talking about it, pushing out anybody's throat. And it's a cool city. It's like very outdoorsy, but also tons of tattoo shops. You know, it's not like a huge nightlife scene compared to other cities its size, but there is one. Yeah, it's a cool city.
I love the pun of not pushing anything down anyone's throat. Because that's funny.
Yeah.
Strictly for babies. Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I think the Bengals. I think it's their destiny this year.
I think the Rams are going to win. I want the Bengals to win.
But you think that, the Rams are favored by what? 3.5 points, I think, is the Vegas spread?
Mm.
I want the Bengals to win only because Kyler loves the Bengals. They sucked so bad last year and then came out of nowhere to make it to the playoffs and then go all the way to the Super Bowl. And there's this random nostalgia situation here for me where when I was his age, mm-hmm. a little bit younger, he's 16, when I was more like 12, 13, that was the last time the Bengals were good. And they had Boomer Esiason, they had Icky Woods, and I was into them. I had a jacket and everything for like 2 years, stopped caring about him after that.
Yeah.
And now it's just crazy to see like him, his team have this success.
That's just—
So maybe they'll actually win this time.
I think there's also some— there's some sadness in there.
Yeah.
Looking at like what the 31 years it was.
Right.
Before they got the playoff win.
Right.
Ohio as a state, fuck me, man.
Oh,
outside the Buckeyes.
Between the Browns and the Bengals.
Browns, Indians, fucking Cavs. I mean, if you took away the one championship with LeBron.
Right.
That's a giant drought of probably 30 years. Indians almost had it. They've been good a couple of times. I believe the last time they're the first team to blow a 3-0 lead against the Red Sox, like back in like 05 or 06.
Oh, that's like the Albert Bell years. Yeah.
And then they've gotten close. The whole state. So let's just bring it home.
Come on.
I mean, us being Browns fans, they just bring it to the state. Yeah, and that's great for everybody.
Because the state hasn't, I don't think, won a Super Bowl. I don't even think it was called the Super Bowl last time the Browns won.
Nope.
It was like the championship game.
Yeah, it was not the Super Bowl yet. I think
it was Jim Brown was a running back, mm-hmm. and I think he was a running back in the 50s. Or maybe early 60s.
I think early 60s.
Okay, so early 60s at the most recent, and then the Bengals, this will be their third appearance, but they never won. Mm-hmm. Boomer Esiason and Icky Woods made it twice, lost both times to Joe Montana at least one time.
Makes sense.
And it might have been both times. Might have been the 49ers both times. That's why I didn't want the 49ers to win, because I'm like, no. Because then it's like a fucking back to the 80s, and they're doomed.
Right.
They had no chance.
This is the back to the future. It's a simulation at that point. Okay.
Do you remember the Icky Wood Shovel?
No. Do you want to?
I can do it from my chair.
Okay.
I can't remember if you start right or left, but like you have the football. Let's say it's in your left hand, and you just go.
Okay.
Ba, 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 ba,
oh, kind of.
And then switch the hands. Ba, 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 and then you do it again. Dun, dun, yeah. Dun, 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 and then you spike it, and that's
okay,
it.
Okay. That's
the whole thing. And you got a little bit of footwork there.
It kind of reminds me of, I've seen it plenty of times.
Yeah.
From other players doing it.
Right.
It reminds me of like Peter Pan, like kind of a Peter Pan kind of fight.
Oh, yeah.
Like a little slow, a little, you know, obviously choreographed, but just like, and then, and like just doing weird. I calculated steps towards each other.
I love that it's held on because it's not that good of a touchdown celebration. Like it's not a really cool little sequence of moves.
I mean,
and he wasn't that good for very long. And there's been like people have way more choreographed celebrations now, like since then. But for some reason that stuck. And I think he was only a dominant back for like maybe two seasons.
Well, and came if TikTok was around.
Oh, yeah.
Back then, he would have been a lot bigger.
Right.
He would have been making a lot of money off that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got that out of the way. Did I say Dumb Dumb Idiots Listener Edition on today's show yet? I'm not sure if I did. No. Okay. Well, we're doing that tonight on today's show. Before we get to that, we're going to get our juices flowing with our brain parts with the very super most important starting question.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
The very super most important starting question.
All right. So this is a combo between Todd and Jason.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
I am.
Would you rather talk yourself through every daily task like a golf commentator?
Okay.
Or every time you have an inappropriate thought, a candy bar appears in your pants and you have to give it away.
And you have to give it away.
Yeah.
Ooh, talk yourself through every daily task. Well, you know what though?
Going back for a second whiskey and Coke. Not sure if that's good for him at 11 o'clock at night.
I have so many inappropriate thoughts. Like I feel like it's truly, what do they call it? Not that I have like a, think that I have an actual syndrome, but like intrusive thoughts.
Male. You're a male.
I'm a male.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. I'm a dude.
so you're a guy.
I'm a guy. I'm constantly.
Can relate.
Okay. So my brain is saturated with inappropriate thoughts. Like for every horrible thought that I say verbally, there's a good, I don't know, 40 to 50 100? Thoughts. Yeah, just hundreds of them in my mind.
Yeah, it's a silly movie.
I'd be giving out so many candy bars.
Which is fun. And I mean, that's thoughtful.
Right.
But people, I mean, if they're either on a diet, yeah, not going to be a fan of being around you.
Right.
And
right.
Also, if you're trying to keep it in a place where you're not allowed, you're at a fucking funeral,
yeah,
or like a high school band practice, where you don't want some fucking candy bars to be given away.
right, exactly. Because they're going to, like, what kind of thoughts were inappropriate?
Mm-hmm. What are you thinking about right now? What are you going to do to that tuba? Like, what are you sticking to that tuba right now, Dan?
Right.
You're like, I don't know. You want an Almond Joy, though? Tell you later. Here's a Butterfinger.
Oh man. Gosh. Yeah. I think I have to.
And do you?
I'm gonna have to go with the golf commentary, but that's gonna be so annoying,
so bad,
because you're commentating. And is it you? Wait. Is it you doing it like verbally?
Yeah.
So are you said talking to yourself, right?
Talking to yourself.
Jesus
like
Christ.
A golf commentator.
How's that going to happen? How's that going to work when you're having a conversation with somebody?
It's not. It's great.
Right? It's going to be terrible. Fucking madness.
It's going to be. Yeah, you're going to get locked up.
You're going to be like, "Hey, how's it going, Joe? I don't know if that was Cummins there went a little too formal with his greeting with his friend. He's known him a long time. That was a weird call to make. But and like everything you say,
weird they didn't hug.
Weird they didn't hug.
But now it's even weirder that they're not hugging. So what are we going to do here?
just walking by, like, "Hey, man, good morning, whatever." And then Dan. I wonder, did Joe give him a weird look there? Is he mad at him? What's going on in that situation? Why is, could be nothing. Could be, Dan's a little bit tired this morning. But like just this constant stream of consciousness.
Is he ignoring me? Because he knows that I'm going to talk to myself when I walk by. And he doesn't want to get involved in that. That's fine. I understand that.
Has Joe gotten sick of the constant commentary? Is that what's going on here?
Let's take a look at him. Yep, looks like he has. Okay, yeah, down. Back to you, Bill.
Quick review. Mental review. Yes, he does seem to be annoyed by the talking. And the talking continues.
Picturing, of course, the golf commentary, if you take it to bed, is funny.
Oh, my God, yes.
It's like, you'd think that he would know where the hole was by now, Jim.
Right.
I thought so too, Bill.
He's going for the one hole, but he's always looking at the back nine. What's that about? She's tired of all the insinuations about, you're like, yeah, just.
Back nine's a little muddy. So maybe just play the front tonight. And you have to say it all out loud. She's like, God damn it.
There's just no subtlety, no romance.
Right. He's like, yeah, I thought the hole in one be a little bit easier. She's had multiple kids. The hole should be bigger. But he still can't seem to find it. Is that John Daly? Is he drunk?
And the disconnect. If you're saying stuff like, oh, maybe I can't believe you got me flowers. You didn't have to do that. Yeah, he knows he didn't have to do it, but he really wants to fuck you later. And just like, no, God damn it. Oh, you just can't give me flowers. Nice. No, I was just giving you flowers. Nice. No, he wasn't. He definitely wants some of that pussy. That's what he's angling for.
Once again, fucked it. Right. But I love the idea of having a conversation.
Yeah.
I don't care, female or male.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have these inappropriate thoughts. Whatever it is. Like, say I'm talking to you right now.
Yeah.
And the inappropriate thought doesn't have to have anything to do with you.
Right.
Like, I'm talking to you and I'm like, oh, fucking titty fucking.
Right.
And then at that moment.
Candy bar.
Whoop. Little Butterfinger slides out of my pants pocket.
Does the golf commentary comment on the inappropriate thoughts, though? Because if it didn't...
They're separate. Those are two separate things.
So I wonder, if you're just commentating on what you're doing and you're not revealing your inner monologue, that might be okay. Because that's what I was just doing with my golf voice. I was sharing the thoughts.
The inner monologue.
But if that's not being shared, but just like
if we go off of, let's look at a golf game right now.
Yeah,
they're not commentating on the thoughts.
Right, there's like it's what on they're your doing.
Action. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So walking a little slow today. Wow, still overweight. I see. You know, things right. like that, like the physical attributes about your performance and the daily actions of yourself, like making. So it's the, like, verb, like, the verbs of your life.
I'm mostly talking about yourself in the third person. It's like you're voicing some random, as if somebody in a booth was just watching your every move.
Right.
But you're the one voicing this person watching you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little, it's very schizophrenic.
What if there's somebody, you know, I was going to say, what if it's somebody else? But that's not the would you rather.
Right.
The would you rather is not Morgan Freeman in a golf commentator voice. So that's out.
Yeah, like if everyone just heard that, that would be like a cool thing, maybe.
Yeah, you could turn that into a career.
Cummins is really trying to get to the lunch place a little early today. He's quite hungry. He skipped breakfast and he wants to lose weight, but we all know that's probably not going to happen.
Just like some crazy, like that would be kind of cool.
That would be fun.
Like if other people heard it.
At least entertain people.
Right, right.
Freak them out. They probably think you're like a god of some right. of some sort, if it's the voice right, always right. talking about what you're doing. Yeah, but goddamn, dude, that the idea of having, I don't know why it's such a hang up that you have to give it away. Like you don't just, like candy bars aren't just appearing in your pants. Like you have to be like, god damn it. Okay, here you go.
Here you go.
Here you go. 1 second. Like I show up into a room and I've had my brain has wandered and I just roll in with a fucking, my pants are a concession stand.
Right.
Of just Butterfingers, Almond Joys, Reese's Pieces, Hershey's. Like all of it. I'm like, hey guys. Hey Joe. And like throw it out and like, yep. All right, thank you.
I'm thinking of the slot machine kind of thing again earlier, like when the coins are coming out of a slot machine, ring, 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 ring. When it'd be like if I just went into a strip club with the candy bar, just shooting candy bars, bing, 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 just like candy bars fucking flying everywhere.
Get kicked out because you're walloping all of the strippers with fucking Butterfingers,
just
leaving marks on them and shit.
Oh my god!
Stop it! I can't.
If you stayed in the strip club for like an hour, there would be a solid 2 feet of candy bars, like just across the floor, like it'd been snowing in there, just the whole time you're in there for the whole hour, ding 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 ding, shooting fucking so many goddamn candy bars.
It's like a ball pit,
like the Chuck E. Cheese ball pit of Reese's Pieces. Yep, they're like, nah, you can't come, you can't have you here anymore.
I don't know if you. I mean, I'm driving. God, that's distracting. If I have a big road trip, I'm gonna drown in candy bars in my car.
What a great business. If you could make these magic candy bars appear, it cost you nothing. If you just open up a candy store.
Yeah, you get it now.
You just open up a candy store and then like, you know, in the morning before obviously you open up to the kids, you just watch hardcore porn and just like violent fucking, whatever, like create, whatever gets your brain having the most complicated thought or the darkest thoughts.
Sure.
And then just fucking, that gets your stock of candy for the day.
Right.
And then the rest of the day, it's like nothing but like Disney stuff and just very G-rated.
It's going to
be very filtered.
Getting sued by Nabisco, like where the fuck are you getting these? Sorry, 1 second, ready? What's your wife's name? Ding.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding. I'm fucking her right now. Stop me. I'm gonna choose the candy bars in my pants.
Oh.
I can't narrate my own life all the time.
Right.
And right now, Joe is wondering if Dan agrees with him.
I'm gonna choose narration. I'm just gonna live by myself in a cabin in the woods.
All right. I'll show up and give you all the candy bars you could ever want.
Perfect.
What's your favorite candy bar?
Ooh, favorite candy bar? Well, it's not really a bar. I do like peanut M&Ms and Reese's Pieces, but if it's a bar, probably Almond Joy.
Okay.
What about you?
Hold on 1 second. How do you like that Almond Joy? Inside you or outside?
Inside me.
Ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding.
Go.
in my mouth.
I don't know. I have memories tied to a candy bar that doesn't exist anymore. Score? Remember Score?
Uh-uh.
Oh, it was like a hard taffy candy thing. Do you ever with eat, chocolate all over it?
Do you ever eat Idaho Spuds?
No, but people have been posting about them because we talked about them a while back.
Yeah, that's my top, one of my top five candy bars.
What? Regional.
Yeah, it's just a chocolatey marshmallow surrounded in it, surrounded in a chocolate shell with coconut shavings on it.
Yeah.
I ate a lot of them as a kid.
Fine. Fuck those things, though.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe I just haven't. I don't have a tie to them. Okay. I don't know.
They're so good.
They're fine. Let's get some. We know that they're right there.
Mm-hmm.
We are maybe 20 steps away from getting Idaho Spud right down there at the gas station.
And if you go to the right stores, you can get mini Spuds.
What? They have fucking mini Spuds?
Yeah. I don't know if they're knockoffs or what, because they don't have the right packaging on them, but I've had them many times. And it's a cheap plastic bag. I think it's probably an illegal knockoff. that they would sell at gas stations. And then you get like, you know, 10, 15 little mini spuds.
Yeah. Out of all things, that there's a Sam's Club version of it, I did not think the Idaho Spud,
Spud made it.
Was going to have one, but they're like, you know what? Fuck these guys. These things too big. I'm gonna throw these things to a grater.
Let's undercut,
shrink them down.
Let's undercut this company that has one small factory in somewhere in southern Idaho.
Fuck this company that's making 10 grand a year.
Idaho Spuds.
There's gold in them hills. Okay, so let's move on because I'm excited to hear about what you did down at the Tool concert.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's roll it. Logan. I heard you like shrooms.
Yes. And
I do. Thank
I
you.
Do. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, shrooms to me have always been like they're like a milder hallucinogen, mm-hmm. You know, generally. And I was, so I went a night early with my another friend named Joe. He's my agent, but he's like my buddy too. We've known each other for a long time,
mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted. It was a rare thing where we didn't have the kids that week. Lindsay was actually out of town. So I just left town a night early. I was going down to San Diego anyway, and Tool was playing, you know, the night before my first show. And so I got there early afternoon, did a little bit of work, stayed just like two doors down from Joe's hotel room, stayed in the same hotel. And then we did like a couple capsules, which are more for like a microdosing. They're not that strong.
Yeah.
You know, like a couple of those, smoked a little bit of weed, had a glass of whiskey. We then went to the area, got some food. And they were playing like San Diego State University. It was either them or USD. It was either SDSU or USD. I can't remember. I think it was the Aztecs. And they have their stadium there. And then we got in the area after we had some food, feeling fine. And then we just went off before we went to our seats, you know, to a little bench in the shadows. And he does three stems with three caps on them, you know, each. And I've had three caps before and not had my fucking brain explode.
Yeah, me too.
Right? I was like, oh, yeah, that'll be fine. Like, yeah. Maybe I'll see some stuff. You know, the colors will be extra bright.
Textures, I'll touch them.
Mm-hmm. Textures, everything will feel good.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucking crazy how high I got. Like, we ate those,
mm-hmm.
and then just walked into the stadium, got like a beer. And then I just remember, like, I was feeling fine. I was feeling, like, warm and fun, like I'm used to with shrooms, going to use the bathroom. And all of a sudden in the bathroom, I was, like, I was convinced that the person next to me was definitely a woman. Like, it was, like, very feminine. Like, a lady was pissing in the urinal next to me. And I just remember thinking, well, that's not real. And so, like, I left.
Could have been. It was a tiny dick.
It was a tiny dick.
It was a real tiny dick.
It was a beautiful woman pissing next to me. Uh-huh. So, wash my hands, and I just walk back to Joe. And before I said anything, he goes, we need to get to our seats. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he knew. Yeah, he knew. So he's, because we took him the exact same time, kicking it for him.
You, from his perspective, you walked out and you're a woman.
Right.
You're just like a super, like, flowing, beautiful hair. Uh-huh. You're the woman that walked out of the men's bathroom. You go, we got to go find our seats. We got to get out of here.
So we start walking towards our seats. And actually, as we're walking towards our seats, a couple fans were like, hey, so, you know, like, oh. Can we get a picture? And I just remember
No,
get away from me.
But I just slapping them and shit.
But I do remember thinking, like, thank God you're seeing me not 10 minutes from now.
Right.
Because I knew that I'm like, this is starting to ramp up. Like, mm-hmm. it hit us sooner than we thought it would. Like, 15 minutes after we ate them, we're already starting to feel
Damn,
stuff.
That's fast.
Yes, so we're like, what is happening? So then, take a little picture, zip in, like, find our seats as fast as possible. And already going in, I'm like, fuck. Like, the stairs look like they're too far. Like, I'm having, like, depth perception issues. And I'm like, how is this happening so fast? Make it to our seats and sit down. And then within like 5 minutes, I'm starting to get super high. And, and it's like you like that stop motion when I would look at other, they're still seating. Like, Tool hasn't come on. The opening band's about to come on. And it would look like in a nature show when they do that speed motion, like when they leave a camera somewhere for 12 hours.
Yeah, time lapse.
Time lapse.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was in time lapse. And I'm like, holy shit.
Jesus Christ.
I'm like, Jesus Christ. And we're not even close to peaking. I'm like, oh, this is fucking scary.
Oh, boy.
And I just remember thinking, like, okay, memorize my seat number. Never leave this seat. And I told Joe, I'm like, dude, I'm not leaving this seat. I'm not going to the bathroom. I'm
Fuck
like,
you.
I stay here.
I will piss my pants. I'm sitting in this chair.
I was like, I'll piss my pants. I'm not leaving until we have to go. And then, so it starts, and it was like my perception of time got all messed up. And then by the time Tool got on, I was so fucked up that, like, they wouldn't play any song in my brain at a normal rhythm. And their live show is so visual that it looks weird when you're sober. And I've seen this show sober.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it looked like, I thought it was a fucking weird Lord of the Rings theme for a while. And I thought that Danny Carey, the drummer, in my mind, his lower half of the body was like a woodland like series of roots and things, and it was like melded into the ground, and he had fucking antlers and shit on his head, and I'm like, man, they went all out for the costumes.
Wow, A plus costume design. Yeah.
Maynard Keenan, the singer, he was fucking the devil for a while, just like this crazy satanic imagery. I'm like, what the fuck? And like nothing's big, and then like the time isn't right. I started getting stuck in loops where they would grind down like a part of the song into my brain. It was like, and then it would speed up again.
Okay,
and I'm like, God damn it!
I've had that happen with audio, actually.
Yeah. It's just like such a crazy this lost track of how time is supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
Joe left for a while, and I remember thinking, like,
he left you.
He went to the bathroom. He went and did more shrooms. I don't know how the fuck he did that in the bathroom.
Dude, you're calling Joe your friend.
Right.
Joe shouldn't be leaving you in a fucking seat of the tool car. He's like, hey, bro, I'll be right back. I'll take three more caps.
But I shouldn't have been that high. But it was like,
well, shoulda, woulda, coulda. Right. Like, I shouldn't be as drunk. Anyway, right. Bye.
Yep.
that's what he Joe came did
back.
To you.
He came back, but he snuck past security. He's like, I think I can get down to the floor. I'm like, no. Right. And he goes down there. And then I remember seeing him, like, he waves me over, and I just texted. We had the craziest text thread, of course, the next day. But I just texted. I'm like, I can't. I go, and it took me forever to write this message. I'm like, I'm too high to do anything.
Uh-huh.
And then, okay, so then I get more high as the show goes on, and pretty soon I just want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just have memories of Joe being like, this is what you wanted. And it's like all dark in my mind. He's like, this is what you wanted. And I'm like, I know, but it's too much.
You made me
do this. And this is a true.
This is what you want.
This is a true story. I've never been remotely this fucked up on shrooms. I had done research earlier in the day for Arthur Shawcross, the Time Suck episode of the Genesee River Killer.
Mm-hmm.
My perception of ego, like who I was, got so obliterated. I swear it felt so real. For a while, I was convinced that I was Arthur Shawcross.
Oh,
I was the Genesee River Killer. I had made up a fake world of having a podcast to have some kind of moral distance between me and my crimes. And Joe was the investigator trying to get me to confess for murders in New York. So my reality is I'm this fucking concert. And I'm like, no, I'm not at a concert. I'm in an interrogation cell. And he's going to get me to confess. Like, it was so fuck. But then I'm like, no, that's crazy. But then I would slip back into that. I'm like, no, you're not Arthur Shawcross. I thought I was dead for a while. I thought all the people around me were actually EMTs and my brain couldn't handle dying. Like, it was fucking, it was so crazy. I couldn't talk to anybody. We left.
God,
finally during the encore.
This is a fucking nightmare.
During the encore, I was like, I have to go. And Joe just kept saying, he's like, no, just stay. This is what you want.
This is what you wanted.
This is what you wanted. And I just left. I got up and I just started running for like trying to make it out of the place. And then it felt like the staircase was too long. And I remember I'm like, I'm never going to get to the top of the stairs.
Never ending escalator.
I made it outside and I'm just like crazy, doing like a crazy speed walk. I'm just like trying to get away from everybody. And I found a bench and just sat down, and then like Joe found me. And then some college kid from the campus, he's like, what are you guys doing? And and Joe said I was a comic. He's trying to ask me questions. I'm so obliterate, I can't communicate. And I just remember Joe at one point being like, he's too high to talk to you. And then this kid just gave me like a
get lost.
Yeah, get out of here. No, he told this kid, he's like, we're fucked up on shrooms. We need help. And like, so that kid helped us to our Uber. And then on the Uber back to La Jolla, half the time I thought I was in a cop car. And I thought I was being taken to the station. I was so fucking high.
Joe laced it.
Dude, he must have. It felt more like acid. It felt more like acid.
I was
going to
say, he must have taken LSD and just injected it into the caps. And just wanted to see what you would do.
It was nothing like any experience. I've done a ton of shrooms before. Nothing like this. And then...
That's the problem.
That's the problem with drugs. You don't know how fucking potent it's going to be. No, like, terrible. One of those caps I had had the most psilocybin in it.
It was a whole eighth.
It was,
that you would normally eat.
So then we go back. We make it to La Jolla.
Yeah.
Now I'm in an atmosphere I'm, like, comfortable with, at least.
Okay.
Smoke a little weed. Drink a little bit of whiskey. Go down on the beach. So it was nice. So then it was cool. The stars looked so amazing. That was awesome.
That's so funny. The last time I did shrooms, I was on a beach in La Jolla.
Oh, really? It's so beautiful.
That's how my night winded down.
And then I was like,
why are my pants wet? Oh, because you're standing in the fucking water.
Oh my God.
And that's why my pants were wet.
That's hilarious.
But I didn't notice for a long time. I was like, oh my God. I was just standing in the fucking ocean. It's like, God damn it, why are my feet so cold? Because you're in the fucking ocean.
I was afraid the waves were going to get me, and I was probably 50 feet away from them. Like, don't drown tonight. Right. Stay away from the waves. They're not your friend.
Roll backwards.
Yep, backward.
Stay back. Somersault.
Backward. Stay back.
Somersault.
Our night, and then we ended the night walking back to the hotel. Joe now, some hit him later. He got really high. He thought we were the last two people on Earth.
Dude.
And he was trying to convince me.
What a fucking mess.
There was no cars around. So now we're wandering around. We're just fucking weird creeps. In our fucking 40s, wandering around.
What time is it?
Oh, 2 a.m.
Okay, so people are kind of around.
No one's around.
Where are they?
It's a very sleepy community. That's what we're trying to figure out. So we're in a residential area, walking. We're just looking into people's windows, not in their yard, but we're walking around the street, looking into people's windows, being like, "There's no one. There's no one else.
How are we gonna find out if only two? Let's break into a home." And that's how every fucking home is. That's why people get shot inside of houses. Like, we got to make sure we're not the only ones alive. Let's go in here. And if no one's in the bed,
we'll wake them up and we'll ask them a few questions. Are you real? Are you alive?
Do you have any food? And if they are, yeah, do you have any food? Do you have a sandwich? Do you have a sandwich? Also, do you know where I live?
So why this is so dumb, if it's not already obvious, it's like, it was so crazy. I made no preparations. This was the dumb part of this. I didn't write down anywhere on my person. I didn't write myself a note or anything, being like, this is your hotel. This is the number of the hotel, just for anybody to help me. If I would have gotten separated from Joe, I would have just spent the night out on the street somewhere, just hiding in an alley or something, waiting to not be high. I would have been taken probably to the fucking emergency room or something by somebody because I was too crazy to talk.
I just pictured.
So don't.
I don't know.
It's a very irresponsible way to do drugs.
Oh, fuck. Brad Pitt, Edward Scissorhands type character is what I. Isn't that Johnny Depp?
Johnny Depp. Yeah.
Johnny Depp. Like, I pictured that kind of like. Trying to hand people a piece of information that tells them where to take you. They're like, Jesus Christ. Like,
get away from me.
You look insane.
True. Get away from me.
Take me home.
Just take me home.
Clip, 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 clip. Snip, snip, snip.
Take
snip,
me
snip,
home. Snip, snip, take me
home. Oh, my dad was so scared of me.
One of the funniest thoughts I had the next day of reflecting on my mental state the night before, I remember in my mind, I don't think I was doing this out loud. I mean, funnier if I was, but I don't think I was saying anything out loud. I remember thinking that Tool, the band, was trying to punish me, and I was like begging Maynard Keenan to show me mercy, because it's like their visuals were too intense and it was scaring me. I'm just like, I don't know what to do.
Why they pick me?
Why are you so mad at me?
I was okay. Maybe insane. I shouldn't have come.
I shouldn't have come.
Right? Okay. I didn't know you didn't want me here.
I didn't know.
You just had to say it. I wouldn't have come.
Why are you mad at me?
Why are you mad at me? I'm so sorry, Daddy Maynard.
It is so for people who haven't done this, like these. It is so crazy. And I read more about them. Like, I've read about it in the past, but the next day, about how they can deconstruct your ego. Like, the part of your brain that regulates, this is you, this is the rest of the world. It just fucking destroys it.
And here's how you fit enough. Into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's how you fit into it.
It's like,
here's your perception of time. Here's how time works. Like, all of that stuff is like, nope, we're shutting it all down.
You are one with everything.
You are one. You're off the chakra. You're the water. You're the guy sitting next to you.
Right.
You died and you're alive.
You are Maynard.
You are Maynard Keenan. You're mad at yourself. He's mad at you. Joe's mad at you.
Punish yourself.
Punish yourself.
Run. Stairs. Run. Stairs. Woman in the bathroom. Woman in the bathroom is you. God damn it.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
And that's the thing about shrooms is that you're one with everything. Right? And it goes one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And either you're one with everything and everything likes you.
Yeah.
Or you're one with everything and everything hates you.
Yep. And on the beach, it was beautiful.
You're right.
But fucking way too intense of a concert to be on that high.
Yeah, so, I mean, back to fucking doing drugs that you don't know, like, what the fuck's in there.
Right. That's the real bummer with drugs.
You can't leave anymore. Listen, your tour's canceled. Because we got to take care of you. We got coke in the alley. We're trying to get you some fentanyl strips. And now we're fucking going too far in shrooms.
True.
You're staying home.
Yeah.
Just stay home.
Lindsay just has me like a cage. Yeah. She's like they take the cage to the studio, podcast studio, and just like push me out of the cage. Like tell them to sit to the mic and tell my stories.
Thank you.
And then after, these podcasts start being so long because I'm just trying to delay being put back in the cage.
Keep dragging it out. Junk mail, you're asking me for more and more and more messages.
Let's keep talking. Let's keep talking.
Here for some more listeners. I don't have any more. Well, come on. It's your 60. You've only done 59.
The cameras pick up two orderlies finally at the end of the show and just fucking dragging me out of the room. That's how the show ends.
Old school.
I don't want to go back to my cage.
Like the cane on the on the theater stage. Whoop, just yanking you into a cage.
I mean, oh my God.
And we might get there. But goddamn, it just brought back some good memories. But you're back and you're safe.
I'm fine. Oh yeah, by the time we were down by the beach, I mean, yeah, it was weird like looking for people, but we were in a good mood.
Yeah, sure. Looking at people's windows is fucking weird.
Yeah, that's
but
weird.
I was happy while I did it.
But I felt good.
Saying that to an officer makes me so happy. What the fuck are you doing? I don't know. I feel good. I'm looking at windows.
Look, I'm happy. Look,
am I smiling? Yeah. Then get the fuck out of here.
Do you understand what I did to get here? Maynard Keenan told me to leave the show. He was punishing me.
Never-ending staircase.
I was Arthur Shawcross. I was a serial killer.
And you guys were after me.
You
found me.
I never confessed. Right. But now I'm fine.
Is Joe with you?
Joe sent you to me.
Is Joe your chief?
God, I knew it.
Fucking goddamn.
Okay, I did it.
Did what?
I killed those women in this 80s in New York. Yes, I was in Rochester.
And in jail. That was fun. That was great. Okay, we're going to move on and hear from some of our dummy listeners.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Let's roll it. Fucking shrooms, man. I want to do them again. I don't want to trip that hard, though.
I have tablets. I have tablets that are a small dose.
Are they on your person?
They're in my house. Oh. But they're microdosing, and it's like it's way more controlled.
Okay. A lot more. Here we are.
Yep.
And we're focused, and we're going to open our brains.
Warm, fuzzy feeling, a little open, not in the depths of hell.
Less, I'm a serial killer. Right. Okay. Our first listener story is coming in from Dummy Curtis, who writes, "Before I share my dumb story, I have two super special requests. Will you give a shout out to my wonderful and dumb girlfriend, Sabrina?"
Done.
"She introduced me to the Is We Dumb? And I've never been a fan of podcasts, radios for music, not talking. And I always thought that, but she played your podcast in the car one day and I've been hooked ever since." Awesome nice. Job, Sabrina.
Thank you, Sabrina.
"I'm only on episode 13, but I'm not skipping a single show. And when I'm caught up, I'll start your other Bad Magic podcasts." Please do.
Yes.
There's weird shit on all of them. "My driving has been more pleasant. Instead of listening to rock and metal and raging at all the dumb drivers and threatening to kill their families and pets for cutting me off, etc., I laugh from point A to point B. Also, now, when I leave a review for a place, I'll make sure that it's logical review and to avoid being a one-star hero."
Yes.
This guy's he's learning.
He gets it.
And that's what it's all about. He goes, "Second request." He goes, "Anytime you have to have Zach do anything, just yell at him for it. I don't know why, but it cracks me up hearing you scream at him for putting something on the screen. He's gotten better, and you've yelled at him less, but I miss it. I'm sure he's a nice dummy, but it makes me laugh." Well, he's on episode 13, so he doesn't know. Mm-hmm. That's going to be fucking Logan! from moving forward. But it will continue, I promise you that. Okay, so now my dumb story.
Yeah.
"Before I changed careers to insurance, I was a police officer working nights in a small town in Oklahoma."
Oh, wow.
"Our department purchased body cameras, and I was the lucky officer to be the first person to go on duty with the cameras. You manually turn them on when making contact and then turn them off after contact. When they are recording, they make a periodic beep to let you know that they're recording. I couldn't stand the chief, who is no longer there because he's a piece of shit." Important for what's coming forward.
Okay, okay.
"I made a traffic stop, turned on my camera, and after the driver left, I forgot to turn it off. A friend of mine called while I was driving around looking for trouble, and I vented about what a piece of shit the chief was."
Oh, no.
"While my camera was recording everything. This is a 15 or 20 minute phone call, and at one point he asks, 'What is that beep that I keep hearing?' Yikes. I turned off the camera and told him, 'I'm screwed.'
Oh my God.
Because I was the first person to wear the camera, the chief eagerly watched the footage when he started his shift in the morning and sent a group text to all officers saying something like, 'If you have a problem with me, let me know
God.
Instead of venting to your friends.' I didn't get in trouble. And I did tell him in person why I didn't like him, and nothing came of it. I didn't get into any trouble, just teased about it for a while. I wish you nothing but the best, Dummy Curtis."
Curtis, you got lucky with the chief there in the end.
Yeah. Just like not knowing when you're being recorded.
Yep.
I mean, there's a reason that there's like laws against it, because it just shows like there's like you can't just wiretap people.
Right.
Because people are fucking weird. And people say fucked up shit.
Yeah, they'll say different things privately than publicly.
No matter who you are, there's an expectation about who you, whether it's your career or what profession you're in,
right.
or in society, there's that version of you that is going to be acceptable by the most amount of people.
Right.
But everybody's fucking pretty, says some pretty fucked up shit when nothing else is around.
Yeah, like if you say something for shock, like because the problem with that, those clips, those hot mic things, let's say you say something for shock value to, you know, make your friend laugh. and you have a certain rapport with them and you know that you can say crazy things you don't even mean just to get a rise out of them. And then they take that out of context.
Right.
And people have had that happen to them.
Uh-huh.
And then you're just random John Q public member.
Whoa,
that was loud. And then
that comes up for something different. I fucking paused it. I have no idea why it started playing.
Oh, and then
and continue on.
And then you hear, you know, that out of context. And that's your intro to that person. That
killed me.
Yeah, it sounds terrible. Yeah,
absolutely. Like,
right.
It's just everybody is that way. I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
When no one's around, you act differently. And this reminded me, I know I've shared a certain radio story about a guy that was swearing on the microphone. When he, like, with the audio engineers changed around one of the studio rooms in our radio building. They were messing with some remote equipment.
Okay.
And they didn't know that they had set up a studio.
Yeah.
In a certain way. So all the commercials that would be recording in the studio bay,
right.
which should never be live on the air.
Right.
When you're messing up reading a commercial,
yeah.
I do it too.
Yeah.
I'll just say, come on down to Cal Auto Liquidators. I'm fucking stupid.
Right.
Like you mess up the copy and you just restart.
I do that all the time.
And he was doing this and I heard it over the airwaves. I was like, oh my God. And I ran in there and just grabbed the microphone.
Oh.
I was like, fucking, get out of here. Get out of here. Right.
Yep. Yep.
So this is another story from Radioland, where when I was first starting, and I'm not going to say his name just to protect him because he never did actually get in trouble for this, but I was sitting in with him during his night shifts, kind of learning the ropes. This was very early on and we got along great and we were hanging out and there was a new song that came out at the time, and I remember it very vividly. It was Korn and it was a mashup featuring Skrillex.
Okay.
The dub artist.
Yeah.
Which is why that shit just blasted. I have no idea why that was blasting. It wasn't fucking blasting earlier when we sound checked it.
Yeah.
and this song came on and he did not care for it.
Okay.
And it was we played it all the time.
He didn't like the Skrillex very popular. Mashup. Yeah.
Right. And again, this is not us saying it, but for context, just so you realize how bad it was to come over the microphone.
Yeah.
He's introducing it and he goes, you know, coming up next, we got a new banger from Korn featuring Skrillex called Get Up right here on Rock 94.5. And he goes to turn the pots up on the mixing board.
Yep.
And he goes, and it's fucking gay.
Oh, and
forgets to turn off his microphone.
Oh no.
And I'm on the other side of the table and I go, oh, like I gasp. Ooh. And he goes, like he has his headphones on. He goes, oh my God. And he shuts it all off and like turns the monitors off and looks at me and he goes, did you hear that? And then he starts looking at the phone line to see if our boss is going to call, because our boss is always listening.
Right.
And we're just waiting for the hotline to light up and it never did. And then we have a text line. It was like, whoops. Is it gay? And it's just ringing through. So our boss wasn't listening at the time. So I had to help him get into the back, like the server, and delete out a bunch of texts off the text line.
Oh my God.
So that our boss never found out. But it's just one of those things. Like he thought he turned off his mic.
Your boss shows up the next day. Why is there a protest outside?
Right.
Why is there 150 picketers outside the station?
I have no idea. What'd you do? What'd you do? I don't know. It has a sign that says, is it fucking gay? Like, what does that have to do with anything?
Oh my God.
Dude, that'd be so terrible.
Yes.
Oh, man. But
hot mics, man. They've taken down careers.
They have, and they will continue. There'll be more incidences just like that.
I think about the guy, maybe he's back now, but who was the guy? It was when Trump said the grab him by the pussy thing, and he was a E.T. reporter or something, like Billy Banks. No, not Billy Banks. That's the fucking Tybo guy. Billy Bush?
Sure.
It's some Billy guy.
Billy Goat. Billy Goat.
And he didn't even say the thing that people, but he was like, oh, yeah. Like something like went along with it.
You betcha.
And he was fucking yanked. And I'm not condoning. That's the point of this. We're not condoning what these people say, but it's just like that is crazy that you could have years of an impeccable career, and then you say one dumb thing that happens to go out and be broadcast to the public, and it's just like meep, 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 meep. It's like he fucking disappeared for a good 2 years.
Yeah,
he might still be gone. I don't know.
And that's even worse when in an awkward situation. I don't know about you, My first instinct is not immediately punch the dude in the face.
Yeah, it's like, well, what was the context? What was going on there?
Even then, like, so if
I'm sitting... And let him apologize.
Sure. Right. If I'm sitting next to Trump and he says that, I'd be like, yeah. But like, because just like, I don't fucking say anything more.
Right.
But in this moment, I'm about to interview you. I'm not going to stand up and punch you. Like, how...
Right.
Like,
expectations are a little crazy.
How do you want them to stand up to it? Like, what?
Fuck you!
Right! Fuck you! Kick their chair
fucking
out from underneath them.
Uppercut them in the fucking jaw.
It's like, no, that's not how...
Yeah, you did it.
Like, you're in a bar, you hear all sorts of fucked up shit.
Right.
And if someone's saying something that I don't agree with, I don't be like, fucking what? And you start punching them. I just go, yeah, it's crazy. And turn my back and fucking move on.
And sometimes I would be like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But
yeah. And it is that crazy thing because I have in moments been the person that's like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And it is so uncomfortable. And it rarely... I mean, sometimes, yeah, sometimes, like, it is good to say things, but, like, to think that, like, people just do that left and right, and that's what kills me, is a lot of people are like, man, you should have said something. A lot of the people who cheer the loudest for, like, man, if that was me, in my head, I'm always like, no, you wouldn't have said shit.
No, absolutely not.
You'd be like, oh, okay.
You're about to get a national interview with this dude.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to, I mean, there's a, it's just so, it's just different.
Yeah.
It is different.
Yeah.
Okay, should we move on?
Yeah.
Okay. Our second listener story is coming in from a former professional baseball player. Mr. Kyle Blanks.
And thanks for the gifts, Kyle.
Yeah, thank you for sending that in.
CBD cream.
I'll talk a little bit about that here in just a second. He says, good morning, Dan and Joe. He must have been up in the morning.
He's up in the morning.
Hope you're well. My name is Kyle Blanks, and I couldn't thank you both enough for uncovering the depth of human stupidity.
Thank you. And fucking great power hitting, by the way.
Right. I played professional baseball for just over 12 years, from 05 to 17. And I have since been working to help other humans understand the potential of cannabis with some amazing people. Some of those great people are Brandy and Tyler Banks. Banks, maybe related way back, and they attended your most recent show in Loveland, Colorado.
Oh, that's super fun.
Yeah, they have been an incredible influence in my life in many ways, including Tyler introducing me to both Is We Dumb and Time Suck Podcast.
That's awesome.
Welcome aboard.
Yes.
I'm also going to send in some Roadrunner CBD products for you to try and share amongst the bad magicians. And if you find yourselves in the Loveland area in the future, don't hesitate to come take a walk through the trees. More importantly, I have quite a few stupid things to share.
That's a pretty neighborhood.
Yeah.
City, town.
And he sent in a picture of his, I don't know, farm, his crops.
Oh, cool.
And they're so shiny.
Oh,
they're beautiful.
That's awesome.
Yep. And thanks for the cream. I've had a sore back lately. I've been using it. And it feels good. Yeah,
that's great.
An infinite amount of dumb, of stupid and dumb, can be disguised as superstition in sports. I wasn't the most superstitious of players, so chugging 20 ounces of A1 sauce after a game was simply a question of how much? Like $200. I've also heard of a maple syrup chug in the spring training for around the same amount, and I'm sure far dumber things happen all the time for far less or even nothing, but this is truly not smart. But it was awesome to watch as being a spectator. A team I was playing for at the current time had a pregame ritual of taking a dabble of those super fucking hot sauces and rubbing them on their gums while blasting Welcome to the Jungle. I've never had a huge problem with hot sauces myself, but some guys definitely had a more uncomfortable time than others. As we were closing in the end of the season, I'm already injured, not playing, and I believe we're in a bit of a skid, so I'm on the shelf watching the superstition brew. Cue the music, Welcome to the Jungle starts playing, and everyone who's in starts dropping sauce. I remember nothing out of the ordinary when all of a sudden superstition strikes. For the good of the team, one brave soul decided to take what you'd call the poop hole loophole. Nearly an instant after putting liquid magma in his number two hole,
oh my God,
he began to dance the fire in pain. It was only minutes into the suffering while pouring milk down his crack to put out the inferno. I noticed that look of slight regret paired with pride, like the baseball gods would be on our side. But why the fuck did it smelt my poor shit socket? I have no fucking clue if we won, but I've never seen such blind, superstitious team commitment. Thank you all again for everything you do, Kyle Blanks.
Kyle Blanks. I love that, Kyle. I just love
picturing,
like, I would... It'd be so funny if they go on like a huge winning streak and he's just like, I gotta do it again.
That's how it starts.
Right? Just like every game, just putting hot sauce in his butthole.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like, oh, this burns so good. But it makes the baseball god so happy.
It just becomes part of the team budget for like gallons of milk and hot sauce and probably like extra pairs of pants.
Yeah.
I've never rubbed hot sauce in my butthole. Have you?
Nope.
Not on purpose, anyway.
I've never had Icy Hots. I'm trying to think if I've ever had that near down.
I've accidentally have Icy Hot on the privates. That's not fun.
Yeah, I feel like I have too, but never hot sauce.
Never hot sauce, no.
Ooh.
It's a weird place for it to accidentally end up.
Right. I mean, yeah, that would not... I wonder how that would feel. probably really, really bad.
It has to burn.
Has to burn so much. That's such a tender area.
It is a sensitive little thing. Can you taste it?
I don't think you can taste your butthole.
What? Okay, cool.
Or you could taste stuff from there.
I was going to say, what?
Your butthole doesn't taste it.
You did it. Mm-hmm. I licked your butthole. Could I taste it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just want to be clear. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. No, but superstitions are so weird. I remember through sports, like you would do, well, I mean, one of the big ones in baseball is you never touch the fucking lines. You don't touch like the third base or the first place lines. No, you jump over them.
Huh.
You don't want to fucking mess up the chalk lines. And I remember like I wasn't paying attention one time. Like I was reaching back, like someone was throwing me a ball and I scuffed it. And one of my good friends got like legitimately fucking mad at me.
Like, dude, you just cost us the game.
Right. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? And we won. It's like, fuck, man. Like, he was super pissed about it.
What if you slide?
Oh, yeah. So, this is going in and out. So, if you...
Oh, the home plate going past third base, like the foul line?
Yes. So, those lines. Gotcha. So, when you're coming from the dugout on the way out, and you're skipping out to your position, don't touch the fucking line.
I gotcha.
Like, that was just like, I know it's a big one. I know a lot of people have that one.
Huh.
But I've got, legitimate fights over that. Spitting, like, seeds... When you're not supposed to, not doing the rally cap when everyone else is.
Funny.
And like they want to kick you off the fucking team. You're like, how about I don't do it? And then if we get a hit, you guys can stop doing this shit. Like maybe that's how we start looking at it.
It's funny that the baseball specifically seems to be the most associated with sports.
A lot of downtime in baseball.
Oh, yeah. Trying to keep your, just something to do.
Mm-hmm.
Team bonding.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're not, there's a lot of just kind of standing by yourself out there and sitting in the dugout. Kind of by yourself.
Yeah, yeah. So, that makes sense. That makes sense.
It's where it all comes from. I do have a really fun apocalypse pending for this week. You ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay, let's roll it! It's the apocalypse. Okay. This is crazy.
Okay.
This was something that I just came across online, and I can't believe the balls on this guy to try to get away with this. So a doctor no longer allowed to practice after branding patients' livers with his initials.
What?
Yeah.
He's writing his initials on people's livers.
Right. So a doctor in the UK has been removed from the country's medical register.
I would hope so.
For branding patients' livers with his initials.
Oh my God.
The incidents occurred in February and August of 2013. When Simon Bramhill used a surgical device to write his initials on transplanted livers at the end of two surgeries. The 1.6-inch initials were discovered by another doctor when an organ transplant by Bramhill failed after about a week.
Yeah, probably didn't recover from the fucking branding. So somebody went
in there and was like, let's take a look here. Let's take a look what's going on here. And it just says fucking Joe.
Oh my God.
Joe was here. or Dale was here. No, Dale.
Simon.
Reminds you of like a bathroom stall.
Right, right.
So what if this guy found it and just crossed it out? And like, let's say that he said like Bramhill was here, and he goes, Bramhill sucks dick. I'm like, brands it on the other
that
level.
That is so. What a weird thing to do.
I know.
What a weird ego flex.
Absolutely.
This is Simon Brandel's work.
Right.
Simon Brandel put his liver here.
Who would do that? But what other professions? Like, if you go to the dentist. Man. And like they just brand their initials.
Simon Brandel did this root canal
on the roof of your mouth.
Right.
It's just SB.
Right.
And it's on the front side. You're never going to fucking see it. Unless you have to get some crazy work done. Like, what the fuck? Is that an SB?
He's a cosmetic surgery. Like, you get a boob job. These are Simon Brandel's titties.
Right. On the little bag on the inside. No one's going to see that. Or if you want to be super extreme with it, like a proctologist.
Oh, yeah.
Go in. He could initial the inside of your colon.
Right.
And the only way that you're going to see that is if you're having like a triple penetrated anal orgy and you prolapse your asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And that pops out and it just says SB. Good work, Simon Bramhill. Done it again.
Did it again.
Another victim.
Oh, what a weird, weird thing to do.
What a weird thing to think that that's, first of all, okay.
Yeah.
But what crosses your mind? Like, why?
To risk, I mean.
Your entire medical career. Like, you're fucked.
To risk your medical career and to risk fucking up their liver and possibly killing somebody because you get some weird infection because you needed to write SB on a liver. On a transplanted liver in someone's body.
Like, what a weird thing.
So
that,
weird.
It's like a weird power play.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'm fucking bored and I'm just going to start writing my initial on organs.
I'm reading, like, narcissism.
Where he sees him, he's like, I'm glad you're doing well. Plus, my initials are inside of you.
Yeah.
Like that kind of weird
like
shit.
Like some weird fucked up thing where, like, when they come for their checkups, I've written inside your body.
Pen right inside.
Ah.
Put my penis.
What's that guy like in bed too?
Just, oh,
like,
he, terrible.
After like he's over, you know, he just like has a he has signs a Sharpie. He just fucking signs her ass. SB was here.
SB was here. It always will be. Sincerely, SB.
I was inside you, Simon Brandel. 1-4. Right. 2018. Yes.
Seals it. Little sprays a little sealant over the top of it. That's not going anywhere.
He pulls his pants out. He signed his own dick. Property of Simon Brandel. Right. This is Simon Brandel's dick.
His arms, elbows, fore legs. It's SB. Well, I know that they did it differently, but in my brain, it would be a lot worse or more fun if he actually had like a branding, like a cattle brand.
Oh my God.
Dan. Iron. Yeah. What's that called?
A cattle prod? Not prod. No. It's just a branding iron.
Yeah, that's what it is, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Where he just does the surgery and goes, just sticks his hand out for the nurse.
Right.
And just out of the coal fire, just.
Oh my God.
He does heart surgery. Just sticks a fucking SB on there.
That's weird.
Little stamp. Yeah, so that was Apocalypse Pending.
Okay.
Which is super stupid. And before we move on to One Star Heroes,
yeah.
we're going to take a quick pause for our sponsor break.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome back from the sponsor break. Hopefully you found something you liked. Take advantage of the landing pages because it helps us keep getting ads.
Yay!
One Star Heroes!
I get no respect in real life. Always am upset. So I let them know I hate them on the internet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are on we the internet.
Where,
yeah.
Where are you taking us? Where are we going?
I'm taking us to West Hollywood, to okay. Carney's. Hot dogs on Sunset Strip.
Ooh.
Now, this is a little landmark place. It's like a little railroad car just right on Sunset, not very far at all from the Comedy Store. You know, it's like a late night like dive, typically. People go there during the day, too, bring their kids just for like, I don't know, just the novelty of it.
Sure.
We went there. Lindsay and I went there after my show at the Comedy Store because it was the only place open still in that little area on a Sunday night. And it was actually one of the – when I went to the Comedy Store – for the first time, just to check out a show many years ago, took an exploratory trip down to LA, I want to say like in 2002 or something around there. And okay. I remember going there and just thinking like, oh, I wonder if like Jim Carrey used to come here after, you know, because all the, you know, Sam Kinison and mm-hmm. I wonder if all these people, Richard Pryor probably grabbed a hot dog here. It was just cool to be where maybe they had been.
Mm-hmm.
But I never expected the food to be good. It's a fucking weird, cheap hot dog place on the Sunset Strip.
Right.
And anybody expecting like delicious food, it's like you're fucking crazy.
Right.
You go there to like be in a cool little spot that other people were in for like the history mm-hmm. and to get a shitty hot dog. I mean, it's a fucking train hot dog place.
What do you expect?
What do you expect? You gotta have real low expectations.
Uh-huh.
But it does have 4 out of 5 stars on Yelp. Yeah, 823 reviews. So let's check out what the 1-star people are saying. Okay, so this is a pet peeve of mine for restaurants in general, but this is Joseph M. 1-star, found hair in the food I bought tonight, disappointed longtime customer. Establishment needs to provide training or something to prevent this, disgusted. And I'm going to pull up this. It is one tiny hair.
I
right?
see it.
Right by this man. What kind of fucking, you're going to a shitty fucking hot dog place inside a train car.
I'd be more surprised if there wasn't a hair
right?
in it.
And I love like, they gotta have some kind of training to prevent this. Don't go to restaurants ever if you never want to get hair in your food. And also, I think half the time it's the person's fucking hair.
Probably.
They're eating it. One of their own hairs falls in there. But I just love the outrage. If there was like a nest of hair with a fucking cockroach living inside the middle of it, I'd be like, yeah, that's outrageous.
Yikes.
Yikes. Yeah. But if it's one hair, yeah, people have hair. Even when they put the hair nets on, there's hair on their arms. Mm-hmm. It's unreasonable to never expect to find hair in your food. Right. It's just something that's always annoyed me in general.
Does it suck? Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. Get over it. Right. Like when people get outraged about hair in their food in general, I'm always like, you're such a fucking baby.
Pull it out.
Hair in my food. Eat it, you fucking piece of shit. Fucking baby.
Move on.
Put your diaper on and eat your fucking hair. this next one, Marie G, one star. Okay, just ridiculous. So much anger over her experience. Let me start by saying this place is all hype. The food was absolutely tasteless and horrible.
It's a hot dog.
It's a hot dog. You're going to a cheap hot dog place. Of course it is. It's supposed to be tasteless.
That's the whole point.
OMG dot dot dot. Maybe it was a good place back in the day, but now it's total garbage. She hyphenated it. It's garbage. We ordered the chili cheese fries, and the cheese was forced in a cup and cold chili poured on and sat as we waited for the other food. The workers behind the counter should take lessons in actual cooking. Yeah, they work at a hot dog place. Mm-hmm. Not bag food or canned. It resembles.
Why is the question mark there?
Why is there a question mark? Not bag food or canned. Or canned. It resembles less than Pink's on La Brea. That's another hot dog place. Mm. That's really bad. They are not open for a reason, and you guys are on your way there. I wish you would just close and stop taking people's money for the horrid food. You're a joke. Close down.
She calmed down.
She just like
ramped.
She just getting worked up.
Fuck you. Fuck exactly. Your family.
Fuck you. Not because of the virus, because of your so-called workers. Stop her. Whatever that is. Cheap help and get quality skilled cooks who went to school and graduated. Otherwise, your business will fail. I won't be returning ever, nor will a lot of my staff. Good luck. I just love, she goes, skilled cooks who went to school and skilled cooks do not work at a fucking train hot dog place.
I mean, they could.
They could.
But they're taking it
temporarily.
Easy.
Temporarily. They're fucking.
They know what's going on.
They're slumming.
My kids, 8 and 11, they cook hot dogs.
Right.
Right. So that should tell you where the type of work is going to get.
This place is basic hamburgers and cheeseburgers, hot dogs, chili fries, like the bottom. It's like bottom cafeteria shit.
Yeah. It's like what's served at like a high school basketball game.
I'm not a good cook. I could learn their entire menu in 1 hour and fucking do it great.
Probably less. They could show up and be like, hey, make this. You're like, I got it.
Yeah, I got it. Right? Hey, man, you're going to want to take this burger patty out of the freezer. You throw it on this fucking big hot piece of metal. It's always set to the same temperature.
How do I flip it?
How do I flip it? That's a great question. You're going to want to get this metal spatula. You slide it under the burger and you flip it to the other side of the burger.
But what if they want cheese on it?
Great question. You're going to want to take this pre-sliced, pre-packaged cheese slice, take out one slice, throw it on the burger.
Okay.
But then how do I get it onto the bun? Another great question. You're going to take your spatula under the burger with the cheese on it, put it on the bun. But then what?
There's no top on it. What do I do?
Great question. You're going to want to take the other half of the bun, stick it on there, put it in the basket. But then what do I do? Give it to the customer.
Without a bag? Do they need a napkin?
Sure. You're going to want to ask those questions. Right. But it is like, this is the most basic level of cooking.
What is next? Hot dog's even easier. What do I do? How do I get a hot dog out of this big hot bowl of water?
Right. We have these things called tongs.
Great question.
Jerry, show him the tongs.
Right. And the mandatory click. Click, 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 click.
I just picture an idiot like they're holding each end of the tong side.
Brad.
And like Brad. No, but they're holding this part that's supposed to grab the hot dog in one in each hand and like smashing it together.
Their knuckles are bleeding.
They're pushing the hot dog down in the water with the like top of the tongs. No, Tom. You're going to want to flip it around. Oh, okay.
That makes sense. Thanks, bro.
Yeah, all that stuff was easy. But how do fries work? Magic? Right. No. You're going to want to take this basket of frozen French fries. You dip it in the grease.
Then what do I do?
Wait till it looks like fries. Right. Then pull it out of the grease.
It's easy. Guess what? It's going to beep. And the beep is really fucking loud.
The beeping won't stop until you pull it out of the oil. Okay, I guess I could try.
These fries don't have any salt on them. Well, what you got to do is...
There's a little shaker. And what you're going to do is you're going to want to take it and dump it upside down over the food. You want the salt to go. Yeah, this is the most basic level of food. So this next one, Tony L. This is just an idiot. This is so great. Who just doesn't know how bathrooms work. Tony L writes, 1 star. So rude. One of your employees opened the restroom door without permission. Next time, they should knock before opening the door on someone. Hey, Tony, next time you should lock the fucking bathroom door, you moron.
That's what I was going to say. And why did he write it like it was a book title?
Right.
Every word is it's capitalized.
Oh, except yeah. For on.
The first letter of every word is capitalized.
It's capitalized. Maybe it's just a book.
That's weird that somebody who doesn't know how spelling works would also not know how to lock a bathroom door.
What a quinkadink.
Hey, I'm so sick of people always barging in on me. Everywhere I go, it's the same story. This world is nothing but perverts.
Right. Everywhere I go, everyone's watching me pee. And he's just peeing in the street?
No one looks away anymore.
Maria S. 1 star. Disgusting food. I'll never go back to this place again. Not sure what the rave is about it, but it's definitely not the food. I had a pasta salad that was tasteless and chili fries that were bland. My partner had a hot dog that wasn't cooked properly and again was very tasteless. My stomach did not feel too good. A few hours later, I felt sick. You know why you felt sick, Maria S.? Because you had chili fries from a fucking train car.
Right.
That's what happens.
That's how it works.
You ordered a stomachache.
It's a gamble.
And then we're surprised you got a stomach. You know what? My stomach also hurt after leaving Carney's because it's fucking garbage. It's supposed to, you know, it's drunken garbage.
Oh my gosh. McDonald's upset my stomach again. Taco Bell.
I can't believe it. I went for a nice snack at 3 o'clock in the morning after having 13 Heinekens.
Beers.
And I had a large chili fry and 2 cheese hot dogs and I didn't feel good.
And I feel like shit. What gives, Carnies? I was fine before this.
Natalie G. Oh, okay. I love the employee response is why I included this. It's another hair one. Found hair, 1 star, found hair in my french fries. Hair, hair. All caps.
Hair!
I found hair in my french fries. Hair! It was short, curly, dark hair. And when I approached the counter to let them know I did not want a refund, no, did I not want new fries. I just wanted to let them know that there were 4 hairs in the french fries they served me, and I showed them. The workers laughed and said, "What if it's your hair?" I was in complete shock. They would even think that I would make a false claim or all of a sudden have curly hair and my hair is super straight. I just couldn't believe how they handled the situation. I will not be returning ever again. What I hope happened here is that some maniacs were working who thought it was funny to put some of your pubes
in their hair.
In customers' hair.
Oh, yeah.
And then when the customers complained, like, well, it was your hair.
What if that was your fucking pussy hair?
And then they just laugh and like high five.
Close the door. Close the window.
So this one is probably a deserved 1 star.
I bet, yeah.
But funny. Yeah. And again, it's Carney's. You're going to a place called Carney's.
I picture you show up like, hey, there's 4 hairs in my food. And they yank a handful of hair out and put it in. But like, now there's
more.
Eight. Now there's eight.
High five. Right. Get the fuck out of here.
Slap the fucking fries out of her hands. Fuck out of here.
Throw hot dogs at her as she leaves. Clunk it. Fuck, get out. Scram. I want to need music for this. This is one of those people where it's like, how do you have this much time?
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anna, 1 star. All right, here I go. Just got my late night delivery order from them. Really excited because I used to frequent the one in Studio City when I lived in the Valley. I was so looking forward to those classic flavor combos again.
What?
Those regular standby menu items that taste like childhood and 1944. Well, folks,
dude,
we ain't in Kansas anymore.
Oh, God.
And I'm far past childhood. Still, I didn't need that brutal reminder when I opened the sloppy packaging. My super large drink, in fact, was just set inside the repurposed supply box my food came in. I have no problem with restaurants packaging with their cardboard boxes. Au contraire, mon frère.
Dude, this bitch.
I think that is convenient. But to just stand up a large soda in a corner of a box that didn't even have enough items to lean up against the soda? Strike one.
Going down.
I opened my package excitedly because, hey, fatty food is exciting. I was ready for a nice fat sausage with all the fixings, and I received a soggy bun and a pathetic little wee-wee of a hot dog. Like if he was a human, he better have a good personality. And this hot dog didn't have any personality. Where were my toppings? The order form asked if I want yellow or brown mustard. Ha, ha, ha. Good luck with that one. JK on the mustard question.
That's funny. Good joke.
Anna, you didn't get any mustard. I kept going through my other items and packaging, searching for it. Like when you hide your dog's ball behind your back and they just kind of run around waiting for it to reappear. And then despair turns into unaccountable anger. It's like when you really admire someone and then you meet them in person and they're a jackwad. with a small sausage. I really want to call the Gordon Ramsay police on them and sit back with popcorn. What the fuck is this? Are you trying to kill me? What a joke. Throws hot dog across the room. Little limp sausages doesn't even make it to the cook's head. I like having vindictive thoughts when I'm hangry. It kind of makes me feel better.
I mean, well written, Anna, but what are you doing?
I don't know.
But write some fucking short stories and fucking put them in a book.
Right.
What are you doing on Yelp?
You got it.
Working out your fucking comedy bits.
You got talent. You got talent, kid.
You got talent, but maybe take it to an open mic, not the fucking Yelp comment section of Carney's Hot Dog.
Right. What? I mean, 9 people found it funny.
It is so funny.
There is an audience.
It is funny. She's building. What if that's how some writers get started? They just like go to like review like comment sections and just see how many likes they get. Like that's how she's like building up her confidence. I had a pretty good week on Yelp last week.
Didn't get double digits, Kim, but I was close. I got 9. Right. 9 people thought it was helpful. 9 people found it funny.
My likes are way up. I wrote a great Wendy's review last week.
Right.
I fucking killed it on Sonic's, drive through.
I bet you that could happen.
I bet.
I bet you we could. Yeah. If someone's like, I didn't think I was funny. And then I was just like being an asshole on Yelp, and here I am.
Oh my God. So some like new comedy like just takes the nation by storm. Mm-hmm. Fucking huge blockbuster. So how'd you get your start? Well, I left a Yelp review, back in 2009.
And gosh, it was funny.
And gosh, got a lot of good feedback. So for the next couple of years, I just worked out, my Yelp skills.
Uh-huh. I closed down 15 of 16 businesses on Yelp with my comedy, and that was enough.
I've gotten 30 products removed from Amazon. Right. But look where I am today.
Hey, what's your name? Just above all of it.
Is that it? That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, that was very funny. Let's look at some good news.
Okay, good news.
Okay, let's do it with Sliver of Hope.
Sliver of Hope.
Okay, so this is just this is, I mean, I'd like to think that I would respond in a responsible way if this were to happen in real life, but I don't know if I would.
Okay.
I think I would. A Colorado girl is being praised for leaping into motion when 3 kids fell into an icy pond over the weekend.
Wow.
Four juvenile family ages 4 to 11 have been enjoying some time on a frozen pond in a suburb of Denver Sunday afternoon when 3 of them fell in, the Arapaho County Sheriff's workplace mentioned. A neighbor, 23-year-old Dusty Talavera, watched the horror unfold from her window. Earlier than I even realized, I used to be on the market in the course of the pond pulling 2 youngsters out, he mentioned throughout the Sunday press, and this is after I fell in. So Talavera managed to drag out the 4-year-old lady and the 11-year-old boy, I should say 4-year-old girl, right, and 11-year-old boy from the water, somehow struggled to rescue the 3rd little one, the 6-year-old lady girl. The girl's 16-year-old male cousin arrived and helped Talavera pull him out of the water. She showed up and the cousin threw rope into the water.
Wow.
And then dragged them all out. And there is video of the rescue, but they blurred everything out because it's a bunch of children, so they don't show the faces and stuff. But I'd like to think, wow. I mean, it's such a, because I know how dangerous ice is,
right?
Like, I wish I didn't, because then I would probably be a little more apt to go out and do that. But I know that it's that thin, and you go out there, and if I weigh more than you, I'm going in, yep, and we're all dead.
Yep.
Because I'm going to break all of the ice when I try to climb out.
And you're all going to get hypothermia.
Right.
It's so dangerous.
I know. So there's a part of me that I would hope that I just traveled around with some rope, mm-hmm, or an extension cord or something to pull people to safety.
That's like the classic quicksand move.
Oh, yeah, right. Right?
Yeah, throw them a rope. They can, uh-huh, fucking pull themselves out of the quicksand. He just did that with the icy lake. Mm-hmm. And I like that the author of that article uses the word lady instead of girl. I've never seen that before.
This must have been, I swear to God, I read this over. There was one article that I was reading,
yeah,
that had so many fucking ads. I just found a different article.
Sure.
And I read a little bit of it.
But how funny, I've just never seen that specific switch.
I know, I'm guessing it might be foreign. It's from theeverynews.com.
Weird.
Not great.
Probably not. Yeah, probably whoever is doing that, maybe English is not their first language.
Or just push translate.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Sure. That's a weird mix there.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me, is your 4-year-old lady home?
Right.
It immediately sounds creepy.
It does. You're putting them way too high up. Like you have, mm-hmm, you're expecting lady stuff from a 4-year-old.
Right, right.
But would you be able to do that? Would you jump into a lake if you saw it? I think I would.
Man, in the moment, I guess I'd be like, fuck.
I know.
I'm going to have to, but I would basically expect to die.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to die.
I would try everything else before I just ran out onto the lake.
Here's what I was thinking. Okay, let's say there's some kids out there before they fall in.
Okay.
And I'm like, hey!
hey, hey, it's dangerous. Get off the ice.
It's not safe.
Not safe. And then if the kids are like, you're not my dad. And then after that, if they fall in, then I walk away.
You close the sliding glass door.
I close the back patio.
I
close the sliding glass door. I turn up the volume and I just pretend it never happened.
Just listen to Tool.
Just listen to Tool.
Crank it up.
I take some shrooms and I tell myself it was all a dream.
Listen to prison sex. Just crank it up and
that's when I close the door. I call the police. I'm like, hey, there's some dead kids. I'm like,
right. How do you know? Oh, they're not dead yet. They're going to be.
They're, by the time you get here. Right. I tried.
How far out are you? I don't know, 5 minutes. Yeah, they'll be dead. At least three of them will be.
They're asking, like, how far are you at? About 30, 40 feet. Right. I'm like, well, can you help them? Nah, fucking ISIS then, man.
I told them not to.
I mean, they're little. I told them to fucking get out of there. And they said I wasn't their dad. You know what? So I guess maybe right now they can fucking hope that their dad hears them.
What am I doing? Yell them to safety? Wait, yell bring a rope.
What? What am I going to? You expect me to risk my life for kids I don't even like?
Who I told not to go out there. Right. Officer's like, okay, I get it, sir.
I get it, sir. Can't find you there.
Lesson learned, right? Right. But I just thought that was amazing. So I was trying to put myself in that position because me and my kids were out on Lake Fernand just sliding around on the ice.
Did you check it out recently?
Yeah. I mean, it's thick. It's like five, 6 inches thick. Like, we're not going
to
fall through.
Kyler wants to go out there, and every year I'm just like, please just forget about it. Right. Like, I don't like it.
It's safe. Maybe not safe anymore, but it was safe 3 weeks ago.
I have to see a lot of footprints on that. Mm-hmm. And I'll only go if other people are already out there.
You see people ice fishing already?
Mm-hmm. And I also kind of size them up. I'm like, is anybody as big as me out there?
I did that.
Right?
There was a tent out there. Mm-hmm. So someone was ice fishing in a tent. I was like, got that it. Has to be a man-sized man.
Yep. Okay.
Who's out right. there? Yep. I'm a man-sized man too.
Okay.
So we're probably safe.
Yep.
The kids shouldn't fall through unless I do something stupid.
Unless you body slam them.
Right. Unless I push them through a fucking ice fishing hole. That's the only way they're going in. Which is tempting.
Right?
Sometimes, you know. they're fucking around with some.
Don't listen. If you don't listen, I push you through the ice fishing hole.
I'm excited to show you the thing I found on the internet this week. It's super funny. Let's roll it.
The internet has all sorts of neat things. Anything you want can be yours. Let's take a peek, together, as a couple. To you, from internet.
All right, so this was sent in by Dummy Jake. And sure, I know. Mm. I know that it's not real. Okay. Like, there's not an actual AI robot that has read all of these hundreds or thousands of Batman comics and then came up with its own script.
Okay.
I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
So fucking funny. So we're just going to read it.
Okay.
It says, Batman stands next to his Batmobile and uses his Bat computer. He's sometimes Bruce Wayne, sometimes Batman, all times orphan. Batman. This is now a safe city. I have punched a penguin into prison. Alfred, Batman's loyal butler, carries a tray of Gotham. Alfred, eat a dinner, Mattress Wayne.
What?
An explosion explodes. The Joker and Two-Face enter the cave. Joker is a clown but insane. Two-Face is a man but attorney. Batman, no, it is Two-Face and One-Face. They hate me for being a bat. Batman throws Alfred at Two-Face. Two-Face flips Alfred like a coin. Alfred lands heads up, which means Two-Face goes home. What? Batman continued. Is it just me and I, the Joker? Bat versus clown, moral enemies? The Joker, I am such a freak, society is bad. You drink water, I drink anarchy. Batman, I drink bats just like a bat would. Batman looks around for his parents, but they are still dead. This makes him have anger. He fires up a bat rocket. The Joker deflects it with his sixth sense of humor, a clownly power. The Joker, I have never followed a rule. That is my rule. Do you follow? I don't. Batman, Alfred, give birth to Robin. Alfred begins the process, since it is his job. The Joker now has a present in his hand. He juggles it over the Batman. The Batman, happy birthday, Birthman, or happy Bat Day, Birthman. Batman opens the present, since he's a good guy. It contains a coupon for new parents, but it's expired. This is Joker joke.
That was an AI author?
Claimed that an AI studied a bunch of Batman comics and then wrote that script.
I don't doubt it because right? it does remind me of that thing that you showed me a long time ago.
Right, with the
AI stand-up comedy routine mm-hmm. where it's like it's in the world. It's like using references, but it doesn't understand
how anything works.
How people talk. Like in those, that is very funny.
Sometimes so Batman, all times orphan. That's sometimes.
I mean, technically true.
Absolutely true.
Sometimes Batman, always orphan.
Always orphan. What a bummer, bro.
Who are you? Sometimes Batman, always orphan.
Always orphan. Tell you what. All right. Thank you, Jake, for sending that in. We're going to get a couple pieces of junk mail now.
Logan!
It's junk mail.
That one felt right.
It is.
I felt like that was kind of how I want to scream Logan's name.
Yeah.
Felt deep down in there.
It's powerful.
Yeah. Our first piece of junk mail coming in from dummy Teresa, who writes, "Hey, Fred and Barney.
Hey.
Freaking love your show. I'm listening to episode Mosh Pit, Shrapnel, Barbecue, and Rogue Grandma. And you're telling the story about the two grandmoms who broke into the water park and destroyed their feet and ankles after going down the slide and they hit the barrier. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And it reminded me of a story when I was in my 20s. It's never good when you hear that story and you're like, reminds me of a story. Like, let's see how this goes.
And they had to wait for the fucking EMTs
to show
up.
Screaming for help for hours, stuck in the tunnel.
Oh, my
God. Their shins are fucking basically
just
in their thighs.
Mashed. Oh. Nightmare. I forgot about that.
Uh-huh. Talk about nightmare. A compound fracture.
Yep.
Doesn't get any worse than that. A few of us were getting drunk in our apartment complex. We decided to sneak into the pool hot tub area.
Okay.
So we take our glass tumblers with us, jumped over a 7-foot metal fence without issues. We didn't want to stay too long. So we started to run out of beverages. We decided to hop back over and call it a night. My boyfriend at the time put his glass through the fence as we were going through, but this time when he hopped back over, he landed right on the glass that he just put through the fence.
No.
Right in the middle of his foot. Being very drunk, none of us could drive him to the hospital, and he was bleeding a lot. So he called 911 and waited for the ambulance. His best friend went with him. I stayed home. Once the morning came, I heard a knock on the door. I go to the door, and it was the complex main office person. Fuck! Apparently, they knew it was us because, well, there was bloody footprints all the way from the pool fence back to our apartment.
Yep.
Double fuck. We didn't get in trouble, but I did have to clean up the blood hung over as fuck. Anyway, love you dummies. Terry.
Ooh, Terry.
Dude.
That sounds so painful.
I know, but the thing about glass cuts, like sometimes you don't even know. Have you ever had...
Man.
How much... I don't know if I...
My stomach feels sick.
If I've told this story, but... When I remember I opened a door aggressively, I'm not sure if I was mad or being funny, but I kicked a door open in my fraternity.
Yeah.
And the door flung open, then smashed a mirror that was on the wall, like a standing wall mirror. And I was like, God damn it. So I was talking to my friend, picking up all the pieces.
And then just blood starts.
No. And then I went down like this to pick up the trash can.
Oh.
And there was a piece of glass that I didn't see.
Yep.
And it just went between my fingers.
Yeah.
And it went, I didn't even feel it go in. I just went. It didn't hurt.
Oh, no.
And he looks at me and goes, what? And I just go, and pull it out and hold it up. Goes,
it's just blood.
Squirting blood out. I'm like, oh, my God. He's like, how bad is it? I was like, I don't know. He goes, let go again. I go, fucking goddamn it. And we had like a big night of partying planned.
Yeah.
And so I had to go to the fucking hospital and get stitches in my hand. But that's the thing about glass. Like, sometimes you have no fucking idea. The blood tells you how bad it is. The pain does fucking nothing.
But I bet jumping on a glass.
I mean, but if you're hammered drunk.
If you're hammered drunk, yeah.
And like the callus on a foot. Like there's a chance that, I mean, it was bleeding a lot, but if it didn't hurt.
I think it just bothers me because I have tender feet. Like I don't like foot massages.
Oh.
Like when you go to the massage place, Lindsay loves them.
Uh-huh.
She wants a foot. I'm like, you can stay away from my feet. It's fine. Just focus on my back.
Move on. Spend just more
stay
time.
Stay on my back.
Spend some more time somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Get away from my feet.
Fuck off.
Fuck off.
She touches it, you kick her. Fuck off.
Stop. I told you. Don't touch my feet.
I told you. Fuck calves.
Don't touch my feet.
Calves. Lowest. Fuck you. Threaten to bite her and shit. Yeah, but that's what a way to get caught. That's like I'm not even sure if it was on an episode that we released or was one of the pilot episodes. We talked about those robbers that stole macaroni salad then got caught because they were coming out of the grocery store and they're eating it on the way.
And they left followed the macaroni.
A trail of macaroni salad back to the house.
Like some fucking Hansel and Gretel breadcrumbs.
I think that was the pilot episode. I'm not sure if that even got released ever. Okay, we're going to move on to our second piece of junk mail.
Okay.
This is coming in from dummy Laura, who writes, this morning... I tripped on my husband's shoes that were right in the middle of the floor.
Oh, you didn't check for shoes.
Mm-hmm. He said, not my fault. I said, yeah, it is. They're your shoes. He looks me dead in the eye, says, well, did you check for shoes? I said, no. Mm. He goes, that'll be $5.
Yep. Nice.
He about got a shoe upside the head. Dummy lore. I love that.
I love that too.
Yeah, fucking your fault.
Yeah, it's fucking your fault. You didn't check for shoes.
What are you going to do? My kids have said that. I've tripped over Ezra's boots coming in the back door and he goes, check for shoes.
That is awesome.
You. Like just using your own powers against you. I'm sure you have examples of that.
I thought of check for shoes down in La Jolla. Not that crazy tool night, but another night when Lindsay
got
there.
What if that was the nightmare of the trip?
Oh no.
Like no one's checking for fucking shoes in this tool concert.
Your shoes aren't on.
Right?
I'm like, no, I do. I know they're on.
Every single person that's sitting around you, you can join up. You should check for shoes. That's the creepiest.
Oh my God. Out of your mind.
Are this big.
Yep.
Your eyes are the size of
all pupil. My eyes are all pupil.
Did you check for shoes?
Did you check for shoes? I'm seeing fucking kaleidoscope colors.
Two phrases. You check for shoes, then you going to sleep soon?
You going to sleep soon?
You going to bed soon?
Going to bed soon? Yeah, check for shoes. Oh my God, how quickly would I get arrested?
Are you going to bed soon? And check for shoes. Have a good night. That's all. Those are the three phrases you've got in a hell of a fucking shroom trip.
But I did a couple nights later, walking from the comedy club back to the hotel.
Uh-huh.
There was so just like a quiet little side trip, but there was like some fancy little like movie theater where you'd have dinner, drinks as you watch a movie. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name of it, but it was like a chain I hadn't heard of. But right there in La Jolla, but they had like a little outdoor patio bar. And as we were walking back, like heading past on the sidewalk, one shoe was on the sidewalk, and then the other shoe to that pair was like starting to go up the wall. Like it looked like somebody had sprinted across the street, and as they jumped up into the patio, they like ran out of their shoes.
Right.
But like they were positioned so it looked like where they'd be like in a stride.
Sure.
It was so weird. I'm like, what fucking happened here?
Right.
Were you running fast, and then you just literally ran out of your shoes and didn't come back for them?
And they just like stuck to the ground and perfect formation.
Yeah, like the perfect spacing.
That's fun. That is fun. Well, that's our show.
That was a fun 70, show.
79. Fucking whatever number that means to you.
Yeah, most important number.
Hopefully it's fucking important to you because we don't know what it means.
Exactly.
Logan Key, thanks, buddy. Producing and directing.
Got it.
You got it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Zach Cohen, creating some of the custom music beds for the show. If you want to follow us on our socials, just go to Facebook or Instagram and look up Is We Dumb. And if you want to join the private Facebook group, Is We Dummies, search for that on Facebook. Thanks to Liz Hernandez and the All Seeing Eyes for moderating that. Logan Keith, pumping out all the merch for all the shows.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's so good at it.
He's a good merch
prop. He's got a computer. He's got keyboards. He also has hands in a bigger computer.
Uh-huh.
And it seems like he knows what he's doing.
He's a merch pump.
He's a merch pump.
He pumps and pumps.
thanks. Thanks again, Logan. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out all the video versions of our shows at Bad Magic Productions on YouTube. And if there's something you want to see on the show, you can email that in to dumb@iswedumb.com. And if you have a general question about, I don't know, fucking whatever you want. About Logan and his merch pump. info@iswedumb.com. That's where you send that. Then rate and review us wherever you listen to your podcast. And a reminder, you can now review us on Spotify, given that you actually, in fact, listen to our show.
Oh, yeah.
Because they make sure that you you listen to the show before.
Mm-hmm.
Which That's I right. think is smart.
I keep forgetting about Spotify ratings. Yeah.
Fuck. How could you?
Fucking everyone has a rating.
I know. I mean, right now, as we release this, a bunch of Spotify shit going on, isn't there?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Good luck to everybody involved.
Oh God, what the hell is her name? Joni Mitchell. People pulling their catalogs off. Mm-hmm. People mad about. Yeah.
I feel like I caught a headline that James Blunt, right? And beautiful.
Yeah.
He threatened to put it on Spotify.
That's like an Onion headline.
Yeah.
James Blunt threatens to put catalog back on Spotify.
Right. In protest to Joe Rogan.
No!
I believe that.
You're beautiful.
I'm not sure if that's real or not, but I want to believe that it is. Okay, I've got a dad joke to wrap up this show. Let's do it.
Hey, you want to hear a joke?
Wow, neat dad joke.
Sent in by dummy Zach.
Okay, a lot of Zachs.
Yeah. So today, I saw a dwarf climbing down a prison wall. I thought to myself, oh, man, that's a little condescending. You get it?
I got it.
Like a little, you know.
I got it.
It's convict.
Oh, boy.
And he's going down.
Oh, jeez.
And he's small.
Oh, gosh dang.
All right. See you guys next week. Fuck yeah!
It's We Dumb! It's We Dumb!
Bad Magic Productions.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.